I didn't mean to put that hard on there. My thumb. I was just scrolling and my thumb hit it.
Oh, okay. Hey, honey, I might not have what you are looking for, but I have what you need. Did you know that?
Yes. I think so.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, what is the worst movie ever made? And if it's not this, what is? Because here on the show, we believe that you can't truly review films unless you know really what the worst is. Am I right?
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what are we doing today?
We are celebrating the career of Roger Corman, who just celebrated his 98th birthday. Yay!
Yay!
Happy birthday!
It happened.
Roger Corman has 944 credits on IMDb. So he has 492 as producer, 56 as director, 45 as actor, and 10 as writer. Many people got their start with Roger Corman. Some of them are Robert De Niro, James Horner, and James Cameron, who is quoted as saying, "I entered Battle Beyond the Stars as a junior model builder and ended up 3 months later as a production designer, which could only happen on a Roger Corman production." That was James Cameron saying that about Roger Corman. This film that we're watching tonight, or we watched tonight, is one of the seven films that Roger produced in 1985, or one of the 101 he did in the 80s. Oh my God. Oh, this is 1985's Streetwalkin'. This movie starring Melissa Leo in her film debut. And we know Melissa Leo is an Oscar winner.
Okay. Yeah, I am kind of speechless. Golly sakes, there's people up there too. When I watched Kate 2 years ago, it looked so easy. Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this movie was co-written and directed by Joan Freeman, who did the movie Satisfaction, which is one of the movies I love, which also goes by its TV title, The Girls of Summer. And that movie starred Justine Bateman, Julia Roberts. It was fun. I love that movie. Nobody really knows much about that movie. I know everything about that movie.
You sure do.
Liam Neeson was in that movie.
That's right.
Okay. Love it. I love the 80s. Anyway. Oh, and Justine Bateman did all her own singing, by the way. Anyways. Yeah. So she wrote this movie with her husband, Robert Alden. And oddly enough, it got a shot-for-shot remake in 1991 called Uncaged, starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Now, that is something I did not know.
Yeah. I don't think anybody knew that.
All right.
And I'm going to ask you a question real quick.
Oh, okay, sure.
After
ask
you
me.
Said all that opening to explain the movie we're watching tonight.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Why did we watch this movie? Why did you choose this movie for this particular genre for this entire month in 1980 of all Roger Corman films? Why did you pick this movie?
Well, for several reasons. Number one.
You saw the name?
Well, no. Number one, it being 1985, which is my favorite year for movies.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, it was an 80s movie and had all of the elements of a total trashy film, especially from the cover art.
How so? I think you only saw the cover art.
That's
and the
what
name.
I'm saying. I went based on the name of the movie, which is Streetwalkin'. I thought it was going to be more like that movie Angel that we watched. Remember? She's a hooker, same sitch, that kind of thing. I thought it was going to be trashy like that.
Okay.
This is a whole different kind of thing. But
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just wanted to ask you, because you said Streetwalkin' jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalkin' and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them. Blood Fist.
Oh.
Now, what the hell do you think Blood Fist is?
Okay. Well, I feel like Blood Fist is the type of movie that would star David Carradine.
And interesting.
It would be a revenge flick about a man whose whole family was killed over a plot of land. And he had to get revenge.
That is really a lot of information I wasn't expecting. I didn't look into these.
Pulled it right out of my butt.
Right out of your buns. All right. Nam Angels.
Nam Angels? Okay, so this is a movie about women that live in Vietnam. And they need to provide for their family. So they go out and become vigilantes. And they fight crime.
And none of that connected you to a Vietnam scenario?
Well, they're from Vietnam.
Think they're actually Vietnamese women?
Yes, they're Vietnamese women, and they need to provide for their families, and so they go out and they fight crime, and they become vigilantes, and they steal from the bad guys, and that's how they provide for their families, and they kick their asses on top of it all. So that's what Nam Angels is.
Okay, next up, yeah. Beach Balls.
Beach Balls. Okay, so Beach Balls is a movie starring Frankie Avalon.
Oh my God, Frankie Avalon.
He's a father, and his two sons are...
Let's backtrack. Okay. Do you really think Frankie Avalon would work with Roger Corman?
No.
Yeah.
But now, he needed the paycheck.
But, I mean, you have to think, what would Roger Corman's Beach Balls be?
Okay, in all seriousness, Roger Corman's Beach Balls. All right, let's say that this is a zany movie, kind of like Summer School, where everyone goes out for spring break and all hell breaks loose and there's a murder on the beach. And
oh, you
the
think
only,
it's a horror movie?
No, the only people that can solve the murder are two stoners.
I mean, I swear to God, I'm mad because I know none of these movies are going to be as amazing as you're saying they are. I know this is just going to be a booby comedy with a whole bunch of guys just trying to have sex.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, you know, there's a murder, and the two guys that are high have to solve the murder because, you know, they were high on the beach when it happened and they saw the whole thing, but they got distracted by a woman running down the beach with her boobies jiggling.
Boobies jiggling?
Yeah.
And those are the beach
balls.
And
that's how it ties in, because those are the beach balls. Yes. That's
all right. Summer Camp Nightmare.
Ooh, okay. This sounds like something I would love.
Yeah, right? And I can't believe these didn't jump out. All of these titles, I cannot believe didn't jump out at you.
Okay, well, we got to watch that.
Summer Camp Nightmare.
All right. Well, this is what I think. All right. So there's a boy that's picked on a lot. And, you know, he's a little overweight and he's, you know, kind of antisocial because he's a little shy and he gets picked on. But he takes his sweet revenge by beating the crap out of his entire cabin, like all his cabin mates when they're asleep, and just starts beating the crap out of all of them. And that's what I think that's about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let's go with that.
And we're in the last one. The very last one, and it ties up, it's the same exact year as 1985.
Okay.
Cocaine Wars.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you think there's like two drug dealers with different cocaines and they're battling it out?
No. So this is starring Edward James Olmos.
Oh.
He is a big drug kingpin. Okay. And his son gets murdered by like the Border Patrol. And he just starts freaking out and just starts killing people. And he gets like sweet revenge on the Border Patrol by like making them all go insane.
We have to admit, there's no
drugs.
Way. With drugs.
Yeah.
There's no way these movies are as good as what you're thinking they are. But I love it. Now, I want to know, why did Streetwalkin' jump out at you out of all these movie titles? And these were just ones I grabbed real quick.
Okay. It stuck out at me because...
Besides the prostitute and well, the title.
There's a great chance of seeing boobies. There's a great chance of having really like nutty 80s music. There's wardrobe that I love 80s wardrobe. I love 80s everything. I love the neon signs. Well, let me...
I think you're full of shit. Did you think that this was going to have like Turbo and Ozone in it and it was going to be like a horror film? Okay. Did you think it was going to be a horror movie?
No.
Did you think it was going to be like...
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I did not think that this movie was going to have the seriousness that it came with. What I thought was that this movie was going to be like... She's being beat on by her pimp and she and like other hookers like just get full on revenge on their pimps.
So you thought this was going to be one of those like, grindhouse yes, like women zany, get revenge films.
Yeah, like women in prison type, you know.
See, I know how your mind works and I like know that. Exactly what and was like, going through your mind at the moment.
Yeah.
But my mind instantly heard that we were going to watch this movie and I thought this is going to be an afternoon special about prostitution being bad and this poor girl is going to be forced into prostitution and she is going to be beat on by her pimp and there's going to be violence against women and rape and I was like god damn this is not the kind of movie we want to do probably.
See, I went more lighthearted, you know. I kind of like incorporated the wardrobe of the 80s, the music of the 80s, the whole look and feel of it, and I thought that like maybe that she's like a prostitute, she's been done wrong. And
well,
she
yeah.
just gets revenge on, you know, her pimp. And
can we just back like, up and just say she's a prostitute who's been done wrong and just say kind of goes hand in hand. I mean,
well,
we did see poor Oscar nominated Poor Things.
Oh, God. Oh, okay.
Everybody's just so cool with prostitution now.
I mean, nothing is going to ever be as good as Frankenhooker. I'm sorry.
So,
it's not. It's not ever going to be that good. Ever.
Here's the thing. Okay, I said there's no way. This is going to be a bad one. But I didn't. I just was like, you know what? Let's do it. I'm just going to go with it. We'll see where it takes us. And it took us to a place that I wasn't expecting. I was not expecting the Terminator of pimps. The Terminator of pimps that just won't die.
I know,
and
for
will
real.
Kill anything in its way just to get revenge on one prostitute.
Yep. It's incredible.
This literally is Terminator, right? We got our female lead being stalked by a man who is taking out anybody that has a connection to our lead female character.
Mm-hmm.
And she even has a little boy that she protects. We're going 2 and 1. I think James Cameron definitely saw this. He worked with Roger Corman. We opened with it. We did a quote from yes. James Cameron. James yes. Cameron saw this movie and said, Terminator.
It's possible.
It's possible. Let's just put this in canon. Nobody else has had this. All right, we are going to put the connection out there. Streetwalkin' is the prequel. The setup. The mind cannon of Terminator.
I like it. I like it.
This movie is, I mean, it's not much to really break down except that we are following a woman, well, a young girl who's run away from home because she was from an abusive house and she has a little brother with her and she gets caught up in prostitution.
Well, here's the thing. Can we just talk about the cast of this movie?
I mean, that's probably the biggest thing to talk about.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but Melissa Leo, this is her very first movie. She's very pretty. I think she's cute. And they gave her that red hair. She looks really good.
This is the only reason to see this movie. This girl, well, besides the Terminator. I mean, that's definitely going to get people interested. But yes, Melissa Leo is very pretty.
She's very pretty, and she won the Academy Award in 2010 for The Fighter, if nobody remembers that movie.
And first and foremost, thank you, Academy, because it's about selling motion pictures and respecting the work. Thank you so much.
She won the Academy Award for that. She was really good in it. And then we have Dale Midkiff, who any horror fan knows that he is in Pet Sematary. And he's the dad.
He's the Terminator that we're talking about.
So he's the Terminator.
The Pimpinator.
Pimpinator.
Perfect. They should have called this movie The Pimpinator. Oh, I'm my God. So mad.
Oh, God. So we have, okay, those two, as if that's not enough. And then you throw in Julie Newmar.
Yeah, Julie Newmar. Okay. We just got to say her name over and over because it's when we, I saw her and I heard her voice. I said, in my mind, holy crap, is that Catwoman? And then I said to you during the movie, do you know who this is? And he said, no, who? And I said, it's Julie fucking Newmar. Like, can you believe it?
Yep. And then they showed her up close and I was like, holy shit, that's Julie Newmar. And you know what? I should have known it anyway because she is the most statuesque, beautiful woman. She's so tall and she's got legs for days.
And you're very beautiful, Catwoman.
Yes, you're quite right. I am.
Your propinquity could make a man forget himself.
I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds nice.
She wears one outfit.
Okay, now that was going to be a question I had for you.
Outfit in parentheses.
I feel like this movie is taking place in one evening. Just one long, long evening. Because
yes,
nobody
does take place in one evening.
Changes their clothes.
No.
Nobody. No. Now, how many Johns can these prostitutes do in one night? I mean, that's a lot of hard work because they literally keep showing these prostitutes in the same exact corner every time and they're wearing the same clothes.
They filmed this movie in only 26 nights.
Yeah. Well, Julie
one
Newmar.
Month. Just put this out. I'm going to say this again, Joe. One month of wearing these lingerie outfits.
Oh, my God.
Melissa Leo kept acting after she had to do this film. I mean, she is in a nipple sheer outfit and a G-string. Julie Newmar is in what? Red
a
lingerie.
Red, sexy teddy. Okay, it's a one-piece teddy with garters and stockings and I mean, she is just, you cannot look away. You can't look away. She just looks
every shot is their
beautiful.
Asses. I mean, she's out on the street corner in lingerie.
Yes. Now, we also get a shot panned to another prostitute who was literally just tits out.
Yeah. Tits out.
I'm like, okay, so the cops frequent this area.
Apparently.
And apparently no one who is in lingerie or just has their breasts hanging, flopping around, gets arrested. So, okay, I guess their threshold is pretty high. Yeah,
I love that woman, by the way, you're mentioning. She wears only a skirt and an ascot.
Her tits are flopping.
And just naked. And they show her, and I was like, she's not going to be in the rest of this movie, is she?
Oh, my God. No, because Corman needs TNA, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's actually the cameo from the real-life prostitute that Julie Newmar is playing in this film.
Okay,
because
I heard so, yeah.
That she is in this movie. So I'm guessing that's the one.
Yeah, Julie Newmar's character's name is Queen Bee. Now, you would think that she's, like, something big, you know? Like a madam or something.
She is. She's pretty tall.
Well, she is. Yeah. She's 5'11".
She should
be
a madam.
She's really awesome. But I don't really get why they call her Queen Bee in this movie. That's just her name. But whatever. So much to talk about with just how they portray New York City. Like,
well, yeah, that's a big thing here to talk about because this is definitely the New York City movie.
Yeah.
This basket case and street trash. I mean, that is. Is street trash New York? I'm just going to say yes. I know,
I know
basket
so.
Cases. But those movies really read New York City, getting the idea of New York.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Sleazetown, USA, for sure. But
I mean, I brought up street trash and street walking in the same thing. I mean, either one, they could have changed names.
Yeah,
they could have alternated the names. And I feel bad. I on this podcast many, many times I corrected myself by saying prostitute. I'm sorry, woman of the night. Sorry, I don't want to offend
hookah
any women of the night. Joe, we're a PC show, okay?
Hookers. Oh my god. Okay, so this movie opens up with these two, brother and sister, Melissa Leo, and it should also be noted that the kid who's playing her brother in this movie is Randall Batenkoff. Now, he's definitely an 80s kid. He was in Four Keeps with Molly Ringwald. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in School Ties. He was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer from 92. You would recognize him if you even saw him. I don't think he's ever aged.
Yeah.
But it starts out as, brother and sister are obviously running away. And Melissa Leo, her name is Cookie in this, she finds a payphone and calls her mom and just says, "Mom, please, can we come home? Please, can we come home?" And you get the sense that her mother is in an abusive relationship with the stepdad. And the two of them, brother and sister, just ran away because
Cookie was sexually molested.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. It's not
specifically said, but it is hinted at.
Yeah, you can kind of get that. And so she's like, "Can you please just get rid of him? Please get rid of him. Let us come home. We're your kids." No.
Yeah.
So this is the scene where she's sitting on the floor in a dirty subway, counting what appears to be just $2.
Yes.
And she meets a guy, which is Dale Midkiff.
Playing Duke.
And he comes over and says, "You know, I can help you. I can basically turn your frown upside down. Mm-hmm. Let's go get something to eat." And then flash forward and she's already on the street hooking. So apparently we already know that he's wormed his way into her world and has made her his, let's call
woman
her
of the night.
No, let's call her the honeypot because
okay.
They're like also together. Are they?
Well, it's the situation of this guy is trying to win over this girl, and she's in love with him now, because he takes care of her. He put her and her brother up in an apartment with another woman, and in exchange, she's doing what any woman would naturally do for their man: hook.
Wait, don't you mean knighting?
Yes. I wish this movie was called Nightingale or something.
She's knighting.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So this movie really doesn't
street
have
hooking
much of a plot.
No, we're going to get to that. I mean, there's
does have a plot, but not really.
All you need to know is that Hook is going to hook, and they're going to get in trouble.
And Pimpin's going to
pimp. And Pimpin's going to pimp.
Pimpin's going to pimp.
And pimps don't exactly have any strategy. Seeing this movie is actually a textbook of how not to pimp and how not to hook.
This movie should be called Pimp Wars, for real.
For real. I mean, I actually love Pimpinator, and I don't think that any movie should ever have another name. This needs to be called Pimpinator.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So what we see is that Duke treats his other woman of the night like trash. Street trash.
Mm-hmm.
And he beats the ever-loving crap out of her.
Which everyone on the street sees this happening.
That's not even the time. He beats her enough that she goes home to pack her bags to try to run away from him. And the Cookie, she's like, "Oh, you know, where are you going?" And she's like, kind of hinting that Duke is violent. And she's like, "No, he loves us."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Of course, Cookie goes out to hook, and Duke comes home and, comes back to this apartment. I don't think he lives with them.
No, there's the three of them. It's Cookie, the brother, his name is Tim.
I think he's got an apartment for them, which is crazy.
It's a shithole.
I mean, hey, it's nicer than it should be for what you would think.
Huh.
But
Julia Roberts had a nicer apartment.
Yeah, but that Pretty movie's, Woman. That movie's ridiculous. In comparison, this feels more realistic than that
movie. Come on, it's possible to marry a rich guy when you're, you know, turning tricks and stuff. You find a rich guy, they fall in love with you. You know, hookers can have a heart of gold.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that movie.
I know you don't like her.
I just can't get into it. I know people, that's like a hot take. Nope. Whatever. Anyways.
Mistake. Huge. I have to go shopping now. Jesus. I like that movie.
You threw me off completely. Now my mind has stopped thinking about this movie altogether, and I'm thinking about that movie as like as a talking trash.
It must have been love that is over now.
I'll be over here if you need.
I'm going to make you love that movie.
No, it's impossible. It's going to be impossible. Okay. So when she goes out to hook, Duke comes back, and this is where he literally just beats her senseless. The brother, you know, the brother is like every 80s brother, except he's in a hooker lifestyle.
You know, he seems to be okay with this. So
no, he's not. He's outside, and it's so loud, the beating of this woman, that he can hear it out on the street.
Yes, but
from,
I
like,
mean,
across the street in what looks like the woods. I don't even know where he is. It's Central Park. I have no idea. But he can hear her getting beat.
It's pretty impressive.
Yes. And he, I guess, goes, instead of going to help or stop this guy, he goes to look for his sister, who somehow he passes on the street because she comes home.
Yeah. And now, he also knows that she's a hooker. He knows this, and he's not even fazed by it.
Well, he warns her earlier in this, like, setup here. We get, like, characters meeting each other, of course, and how everybody's friends on the hook and staff are all friends. And there's, like, you know, you got your different hooking, you got your different departments of hookers.
And so they have a guild?
I mean, sorry, night, women of the night. I'm sorry.
They have a hooking guild?
A hooking guild. They all kind of know each other, and all the pimps know each other. And each pimp has their own classification of women of the night. And that we kind of see all them meeting, and we see that the brother is like flirtatious with the hooker, the women of the night. And but for some reason, our main character is just oblivious to their lifestyle being not normal, and that her boyfriend, or the person she apparently loves that she doesn't actually live with, is a pimp. And so she doesn't even think twice that her friend might get her ass beat by him. And what, this is the craziest scene ever. She comes home, and we just see that Duke is on the floor like he has gone through a tussle.
Yeah.
And he automatically grabs her, and she romantically has sex with him. Well, so, we're like, yeah. Where's the body?
Like, okay.
I couldn't tell if they threw the body out the window. I couldn't tell if she was on the street. They she's dead.
Yeah, they didn't really show us well, anything we do, about her.
We do, because we pan over, and she's just laying on the floor in the other room in the doorway. And somehow Cookie came home and did not see a beat woman on the floor.
Yeah, there's literally doorway. Two rooms in this whole apartment.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally the door, the kitchen, that doorway, and then what looks like a living room scenario that Cookie is living in with her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Duke is having sex with her. Now, her brother could walk in at any second.
Now, why would that matter?
Well, she also was wearing that outfit that shows her nipples off, and her brother's just hanging out with her.
Yes, but that's very uncomfortable. He seems okay with all of this. Like, yeah. He knows all the names of her hooker friends on the street corner.
Yeah, and he's like telling her, Duke is no better than the stepfather.
Right.
He also liked you. And she's like, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong of me. But still, he's trying to warn her in his own way, but still just goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nuts. That the brother's like, you know what? At least I have a new jacket, and at least I have some food and a bed, so you can go hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the?
He's completely fine with completely his sister being a woman of the night.
Just, he's not very protective at all. In fact, he seems very into himself.
Yeah, he kind of does.
He's that 80s brother.
Yeah, he's that typical 80s brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where Cookie actually, after sex, realizes that the girl's beaten on the floor. And instead of like turning to Duke and being like, you son of a bitch, she actually says, help. Something has happened to her.
Well, because she doesn't know that he's the one that beat her.
What? Who came in there? Why was Duke on the floor?
Well, she could have been turning tricks in there and maybe got a violent guy. Who knows? She didn't suspect that the guy she loves
John's. Oh. They don't bring John's home to their house.
Oh, you don't shit where you eat?
Yeah, exactly.
I got it.
Yeah, that's their place. They got a Hook Hotel.
Okay, a Hook Hotel.
A Hook and Tell.
Or just, you know, cars.
Well, yeah, or cars. Yeah, I mean, that's when she finally realizes that Duke is savage. And he leaves, and he basically is like...
It's like, fuck that hoe.
And it seems like it's the first time they had sex. Because he's like, that was good.
You know what? It's funny, too. Like, you feel like they've had a bit to be together. Because they literally show their meeting in the subway, and then they already jump to them.
That she's...
She's already in it. She's already...
I'm a woman of the night.
She's already, you know, turning tricks and stuff. So it's like she's a pro and she doesn't even... There was no, like, indoctrination or, you know...
we don't see any of that.
No montage of her, you know, being pulled into this world.
Yeah.
She's just in it.
And she seems happy about it.
And she does.
She's, like, buddies with Julie Newmar's character.
Yeah.
Miss Queen Bee.
Queen Bee. Yeah.
Everything seems like hunky-dory. And she actually has... It's been a bit because she actually has clientele.
She does. So you know it's been a bit because she has like regular Johns that are like, you know, that she know her by name and like know how to...
Give her jewelry.
They give her jewelry and they're like totally all about her. Like it is like that scenario where like, you know, the Johns get like obsessed or, you know, completely involved in their hookers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a nice guy who actually wants to, like, a couple of nice guys that, like, care. Oh, I love you so much. I dream about you. I want to give you gifts. And she's like, I have to go back to my pimp.
Yeah. I mean,
that's funny in itself. Even one guy's even saying, like, please stay with me tonight.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I have another man. I'm like, God.
She had a busy night, though. I mean, she's been in those clothes for 3 days.
Honestly, it's been a busy night. And it gets busier. This is one night. So already the setup is she's had sex on while she was hooking.
Mm-hmm.
Then she came home and had sex with Duke.
Mm-hmm.
She found her friend's body on the floor, brings her into a cab, and brings her to the hospital, then calls another pimp.
And
there's a pimp call book, apparently, that you can call. Everybody's open for new jobs.
Yeah, of course.
Basically just getting a new full-time position.
Everybody's hiring.
Job. Yeah, who's hiring? Who's looking for this? And she calls another guy. Now, at the same time, after beating this girl and having sex with her, Duke goes to a nightclub. And by the way, he has a buddy. He has an underling who's like a drug guy. This guy's in everything, too.
What's his name? I forget.
What, the character?
No, the actor, again. He's in so much stuff.
He's in so much crap.
Oh, my God. But is he an underling or he's just a crackhead and he gives him money?
But he, like, loves this guy. He's, like, his Greg best Gerben. Friend. Yeah.
Is it German? Greg Gerben? German. I don't know. Whatever, but he's in everything, this guy. I mean, you just look at his face and you could tell he's in Child's Play 2. He's in Grey's Anatomy. He's been on guest spots on a lot of shows. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Tons of stuff. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But you could tell it's him. Like, he's just, you know, a little younger, but he's a crackhead.
He's all cracked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in so much stuff. He's in so much.
He's just always in the background, this guy.
No, he's...
In this movie.
Oh, in this... Well, he gets a big part because he is his underling. He follows him around. He's like his groupie.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is okay with it. He seems to be all right with it. So they actually go to this club. And first, only Duke is allowed in. The other guy's not. The bouncer, by the way, is the guy from Dawn of the Dead.
No, Day of the Dead.
He's one of the main soldier guys, the mm-hmm. bigger one. He's the bouncer here. And he's the worst dressed bouncer you've ever seen for a club.
He really is.
He's just in, like, a redneck outfit. Like, he's got like a beer t-shirt tight and a baseball cap.
It's Gary Howard Clark. He was the guy that had the glasses in Day of the Dead.
One of the main soldiers in that movie.
Private Walter.
So he doesn't let that underling in, but the other guy goes in. Now, there's a whole thing that's set up here. We actually have the actor who played Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch?
Did I say it wrong?
Yes.
What did I say?
Starsky. Your life together. Yes.
Starsky.
He's Huggy Bear.
Starsky and Hutch?
Starsky and Hutch, yes.
Starsky.
God damn it.
Did I say it right?
Starsky, yes. Starsky. But
I'm going to cut all that out.
He always has... he always has like the best wardrobe. You notice that? He always looks like a pimp.
Exactly. He's this character. He's this actor. He's been in so much stuff as well. He is another pimp, and he's in this bar, and he has his own women. Now, I will say that his main woman, who Duke is checking out, I don't know if prior they have met. But they had to in this hookin' world. I mean, I think that they have to all know each other. I mean, and this woman, she has her own clientele too. She's not new. So Duke must have known her previously, but she's looking at Duke and Duke's looking at her like they've never seen each other before.
I'm guessing she's in the market for a new pimp because Huggy Bear, who's not playing Huggy Bear, his name is Finesse.
Finesse.
And he is a pimp and he... I guess treats her rotten, you know, because pimps, some of them are super nice and doting and loving and kind. But Finesse is just a dick, you know, he's a dick pimp. So
I would say that he still seems better than Duke.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
in fact, you know, Duke is like a full on animal. Well, everybody else seems like they actually care. Like he's giving like gifts out to one of his other women of the night, this other pimp. And the one's getting jealous that he's giving her things. So she's looking at Duke like, you know what, fuck this guy, I'm going to go mess with Duke. So Duke buys a ring from a dude at the counter. I don't know what that's all about. He buys a ring so he can gift it to this woman of the night and get and sway her to his side.
It's just a gumball prize. It's like
it is,
you know,
and
it's just trying to sway her.
It works
to his side, and she's all like, "Hey, I like this ring. I'm gonna come over to your side."
And it, of course, they start dancing. They have a whole dance scene, and her pimp is like, "Where the hell is my girl? Where's my bitch?" You know,
he does say that.
He says it a lot. He's funny as shit. He's so great at it. He's in a complete white tuxedo.
Yeah, I mean, with the side tilt hat, all of it.
All of it.
Just all of it.
Amazing.
He's 100% invested in this.
Yeah. And he seems like he's in a different movie. He seems like he's in, like he was in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, and he's in Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's in one of those movies more than this movie, because everything else feels more like it's this realistic world. He seems like a cartoon character.
You know, he kind of does, except I expected him to be a little bit more badass.
Oh,
you know,
okay, everybody in this movie seems like they're going to be more badass.
But they're not.
Here's the craziest thing. Duke has two women of the night. That's it.
Yeah, one he put in the hospital.
Now, he's in the market for a new woman of the night to replace that woman. Okay? He's only got two. And he's a complete bumbling idiot. But he is somehow the biggest badass that this town has ever seen, right? And that's what happens. Like, a fight breaks out because he's like, you got my hookah, you know? And so he's like, get away from, now she's with me.
Oh, and pimp wars, that starts everything right there,
pimp wars. He pushes the one pimp. Duke pushes the pimp. And the pimp goes to take his jacket off to fight him, and he knocks him out. He punches him out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Now, there's other pimps in this club. They're all kind of like, all right, we see your game. And this guy doesn't even retaliate. He kind of backs off and cowardly sits down.
Yeah, he really does. Like, I mean, he literally, he tries to go after him, but the bouncer grabs him. So what you think it would end there. But can we just please, can I just make mention of this club? Now, this club is the strangest thing I have ever seen. It is so odd, the people that are in this club. It's like if Studio 54...
You're right, yeah. I forgot about that.
...had, like, squeezed out a turd, and that turd was this club. You know, like the turd monster of Studio 54.
Yeah, it's like if John Waters was casting a nightclub mm-hmm. in New York in 85... That's what the dancers seemed like?
Yeah, it was so weird.
It's so strange.
Now, the thing is, the reason I'm bringing this club up is because it could not be more 80s. It had, like, the neon, you know, signs and lights going and the disco ball. And it just had that totally 80s feel. There's, like, drag queens in there. There's a woman literally just dancing topless for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
just
they're playing one beat.
One beat over and over and over, same thing. And I was just like, at one point I was like, okay, there's no way that these pimps would be hanging out in this shithole. They just, I mean, pimps in general, I'm sure they don't discriminate, they hang out in shitholes, but this particular shithole, why are they pimping out their women to the guys in there? Is that what's happening? Because there's no rhyme or reason for any of these pimps to be in this club. There's not even enough women in there. There's just, there's like women.
It's like a pimp clubhouse. This is like the Moose Lounge, or like the Moose Lodge for pimps. Everybody comes here, they hang out, they steal each other's women, you know, and they have hookoffs. I don't really know. But there's some kind of friendly competition?
But what's weird about it is that it's not friendly. Because Dale Midkiff, who is the pimpinator, he tried to take Star, who was Huggy Bear's girl, okay?
She's always there.
Now, he tried to take her away, give finesse. Her a ring. Yeah, finesse. He tried to give her a ring and say, hey, baby, I want you on my team. And so there's like a little fight that ensued. He's like, you're not taking my bitch. And Dale Midkiff slaps him. But why does the other pimp, like, there's so many other pimps involved. They're just, like, giving, like, this snarled look, like, oh, man.
Pimps,
you know?
See game. They get it.
But here's the thing. Like, they all know each other. Why don't you defend it?
Well, that's what I was saying before. Duke is the biggest badass. Every time he takes a piss, everybody backs off.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and so we got to cut now real quick to the other story to connect into the story to catch up. But Cookie had called another pimp to pick her up.
Okay, and his name is Jason.
Jason, yeah. Played by an actor named
Leon. Just Leon.
Leon.
There's no last name. It's just Leon.
Yeah, he was in the Temptations movie. He was on Oz. We know all of these people. It's so crazy. Yeah, he is fully professional looking. Mm-hmm. Now, you think that this is like the mob and they're hooking people.
Right?
At first, you actually thought they were police officers.
I did, because Cookie came over to the car and
she says, I'm going to be with you now.
I want to be with you now. And what it felt like to me at the time was that she's like, oh, I want, you know, do you want a piece of all this? Like, do you want me to turn some tricks for you or whatever? And I was like, oh, these two are going to end up being cops. And they were not.
Yeah, they're dressed like police officers, like undercover police officers.
Yeah.
And the way he's acting seems like, oh, he's going to be the badass in this film. That he's going to put, like, this is going to be the big war, right? It doesn't exactly go this way. That's what's crazy about this movie. So she says, I will hook for you now. And Duke is a monster. He put the other girl in the hospital and everything like that. And he's like, okay, where is Duke now? And so she goes to the club. She brings him and his goons.
Yeah, now him meaning Jason,
the new pimp. She brings him. She goes in there. She sees that Duke is with that girl. Now Duke has beat that other pimp up, Finesse, and taken his girl Star. I cannot believe all these names. And she sees that, and she's like, look, we have to talk about her Meet me outside. We have to talk about the other prostitute that you put in the, I'm sorry, woman of the night, that you put in the hospital. So he comes outside, and it's a trap. Her new pimp has a whole bunch of goons jump this guy, handcuff him, put him in a car by gunpoint, and drive him away. And she's all freaking out. Oh, don't hurt my boyfriend. I love him. And he's like, baby, we just going to talk to him. We're just going to talk to him. He's the one overacting. Well, now, the plan really is to drive him to the docks. Now, I later on, they mention how they weren't going to kill him. I don't really understand this. But he's handcuffed in the backseat with two guys. And I think it might be one guy. There's one guy with a gun to him. And another guy driving in front of them.
Yeah, there's two guys
looks
in
like,
there.
He looks like the singer of Queen. He's got the full-on mustache.
Oh, yeah,
big
he
kind of
does look like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Duke, when they get to the docks, I guess they're going to shoot him and throw him overboard, but they kind of mentioned that they were going to rough him up. That's odd. But Duke is able to get out of the situation by having the guy shoot the guy in the front seat.
Yeah, he grabs the gun, and so he shoots the guy in the front seat, and the car goes swerving.
Yeah, he's able to beat up the guy next to him, but my favorite thing is the door opens. And the gun falls perfectly on a piece of paper or cardboard outside the door, and just one tap makes it slide under like a guy gonna do your oil change.
I know.
It just slides right under the car.
It's amazing, but what's more amazing than that is the fact that the car, who was now mind you, the driver was totally capped. Okay, so he's just slumped over. So who's actually driving the car? The car stops itself. Did you realize that?
Yeah,
It
just stops.
I was like, what? I didn't even mention it to you, and then in the scene, because I was like, okay, we have to talk about this later.
Because everything keeps happening in the scene. It's funnier. Everything that happens, he's handcuffed, and he's beating the shit out of this guy.
Yep.
Who should have the upper hand here.
Mm-hmm.
The gun has slid under the car. The front guy's dead. And they have a fist fight. And every time that it looks like Duke is about to get his ass kicked, somehow Duke just gets more strength. He's like Bane or Hulk. He just gets stronger, and he beats this guy to death.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, he gets right out of that situation. So what do you think happens next? He's fucking pissed, okay?
He's pissed. He's all Hulking pissed. Out. He's all Baned up. And he takes the car, gets the handcuffs off, throws the two bodies over, drives the car, and he's like, I gotta go kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I have to kill Hookie.
You know,
Cookie. I have to get revenge.
Oh, you said Hookie. Hookie.
I have to get revenge on Hookie. I have to kill her
now,
quickly.
Because she sold him out, and she's like, you know, gonna go to a new pimp, and they held his ass at gunpoint. This is all her fault. She needs to... I'm gonna take her ass out. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the plot seems
to... That's the plot of the movie.
The plot of the movie. And that's what everything happens here, because she just goes back to work.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets on with her life real quickly. She hooks up. There's like a whole bunch of funny scenes. She goes off and she finds Vanessa's other pimp, other girl, is all drugged up all the time. And so Star has to get back into his good graces. And she goes, and this is all one night.
I still can't believe it. They're all wearing the same goddamn clothes.
Star actually needs someone to go with her for another, this one guy wants two women to be dominatrix to him. So Hookie goes with Star, and it looks like the guy that used to make the donuts for Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like him. They tie him up, they beat him, they make him like act like a cow or something. And we're getting all these scenes, like even the brothers looking for her, everybody's like kind of connecting. It's just like kind of like joking around. But now Duke gets involved.
Well, like in between, okay, so in between the pimp wars, there's hooking going on.
Yeah, there's like,
and they want us to remember that she's a hooker.
I'm like,
trust me, we know she's a hooker. Her boobs are flopping about in every other scene.
Yes,
she's still wearing the same goddamn clothes from 3 days ago. We know she has literally had 16 Johns in this particular night. So it's like, what is the point? Like, you're just filling shit in, you know?
There's another woman of the night who's like a shorter one that the brother seems to like. And he's always flirting with her. She's got a pimp that's like Turbo and Ozone. He's dressed just like one of those guys. And
he looks like Ozone.
Duke comes looking for Cookie and goes after everybody that's ever connected to these characters ever. So the first person he goes after is that prostitute who he like shakes up a little bit and gets into a fight with Turbo. And Turbo and him...
Ozone! It's not even Turbo and Ozone.
It just looks like one of those guys. They have a fight. Now, he's shaking his woman up. So he's from behind. Now, all he has to do is, like, bash him over the head with a chain or hit him with a thing. Instead, he just, like, tells him to get off his woman and pushes him, which makes Duke even more enraged and to turn around and beat the ever-loving shit out of another pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just point this out. Duke, in this night, has had his ass kicked. At one point, he's thrown over a car on the docks. He's been handcuffed. He's been pushed around and beat up. So he should be messed up. And he seems at peak level to fight this other pimp.
Yeah, well, not Ozone. Actually did get a couple of roundhouse kicks on him.
Yeah, we're going to point that out. Yeah, I got to point that out. He does do martial arts on Duke. And he takes wood and smashes Duke with it. It just seems to enrage him more. And he gets Duke rage. And he just kicks the shit out of this guy. He also calls that guy, his henchman, to bring him a bag with a gun and bullets in it, which the guy does.
That's the guy who's tweaking out. He's like the crackhead that's always in the background.
So...
It's just so funny because, like... I mean, this guy literally is the Terminator. He's getting his ass kicked. And now, mind you, he's just roughing up these hoes, pushing them around, and the pimps are coming to their defense. So he's getting his ass kicked because he's looking for Cookie. And he wants to take Cookie out. So he's, like, just interrogating and roughing up, you know, hey, tell me where she is, tell me where she is, and just beating him up and stuff.
Yeah, that woman ends up giving him information, which leads him to another spot. Which is where Star and Cookie just were. And they're not there at the moment. He actually goes and roughs, like, he threatens the guy who owns the hotel. He runs up to the room. The guy's up there. He punches that guy out. And that guy's all excited because he thinks he's going to be, like, you know.
Well, yeah, they were doing their dominatrix.
So he's deal. Like, they'll hurt me. So he punches him out. And he, enraged, goes looking again.
It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop. Ever. Until you are dead.
Now, at the same time, the other pimp is like, where are my guys? And I wonder if they killed Duke yet. So they go to the docks and they find their dead guys.
Mm-hmm.
So this... Now, he doesn't seem to have any other henchmen. No. Although, outside of the club, he seemed like he had 5 or 6 people. It's just him and his buddy now.
Yeah, we're talking about Jason. He's the pimp that dresses nice. Like, not like a pimp, but like...
Whatever.
Undercover cop.
Yeah, Leon, the actor. He and his henchmen go on a... Now, they're on a trip to find Duke. While Cookie, Star, and Queen Bee go to a bar at night that closes... And they go and play poker with Tim, her brother. They all go play poker at this bar at night after it closes. For some reason, the bartender allows them to go hang out.
He gave them the keys.
Yeah, he gave them the keys.
Like, oh, I trust a bunch of hookers.
So while they're doing that, now Duke is on his rampage. Jason's on his look for Duke on his rampage. He goes to the nightclub and tries to hook up with Finesse and say, hey, Finesse, we have to kill Duke. He's on the run. He's going to come for everybody. We have to stop him. And Vanessa says, you know what? I don't want any part of Duke. He says, I'm scared. Like, he doesn't say that, but he is, like, saying, I'm not going after Duke.
I mean,
I'm going to stay away from this.
I'm sorry. I'm with Finesse. I would be afraid of Duke, too, because this guy cannot fucking die. Like, he literally has got his ass kicked all night. He's covered in blood. I think he was kicked in the stomach. He's still running.
Yeah, but Duke beat the shit out of Finesse in this nightclub in front of everybody, made him look like a punk, and this other guy's like, let's hook up and kill this guy and keep, like, have a
Like a pact.
Like a pact. Let's be the Legion of Pimps. And and he's like, no, I don't want any part of it. So they leave. Now, of course, Finesse, he doesn't have any henchmen for some reason. He goes out to his car at night alone. And in the back, when he gets in his car, in the back seat, Duke is waiting for him. Duke pops up
and ridiculous. Threatens
Finesse and says, where are they? And he says, I don't know, but I think that if you go to the corner, somebody over there probably know. My other woman of the night, she might know where she is.
Right? I mean, he's probably upset too, Finesse, because he's missing his hoe.
Yeah.
Star. She's like totally, you know, fucking around. She's gambling. She's the one.
They went and did the thing. So I think later on he meets up with his woman. But I don't know. He's like, go see the other woman. Maybe you'll find out. So he slits his throat. Duke kills Finesse. He just slits his throat and kills this guy.
What? Bitch, you got to be crazy.
And also they kind of suggest that it's the first time he's killed anybody. The way he reacts to slitting his throat is kind of like it's the first time. But he just shot a guy and just beat another guy to death with his hands. And also beat a woman who's in the hospital, which we find out Cookie gets a call to the hospital and finds out she died.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how
what happened
to her. He just beat her to death, I guess.
Yeah, she also had... He had kicked her in the chest and she had problems with her chest, but I don't know if that... You know, who knows? But he beat her to death and she died in the hospital.
But guys, if you're actually trying to follow this plot, can you imagine what we went through watching this?
I don't think it's hard at all. It's
all over the place. It's like pimp wars and hookers hooking.
Yeah, and we're making it sound cooler than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Duke's Rampage is hilarious. You got any noise there you want to make?
Sorry.
Is there any more?
Excuse me, I'm eating an apple fritter. I need my snacks.
All the talking about pimping and hooking is...
making me hungry.
Is making me so hungry. Yeah, Duke is... He kills Finesse. He's looking for her still. And while Jason goes after and teams up with the other pimp, Ozone, and gets Ozone, and he's like, makes a pact with him to have his hooker get in the car with him and drive around all night?
Yeah, okay. Explain.
I don't understand that plot line.
What is going on with not Ozone and his hoe?
She sits in the middle of these two guys as they're looking for Duke. And so basically it's just like she's like a tour guide for the whole night of pointing out locations where they could be. And they can't find him. But the only reason Duke can find the girls is because Tim, the brother, is sent out to get Chinese food. So they follow him. And now they end up jumping Tim, and we don't see what happens here.
No, they grab him. But
we see that he grabs him, and that's it. And at the same time, Duke is like, Jason, the other pimp, I mean, is basically being told by the girl who's scared. She's like, I don't know what's going on. You guys are really creeping me out. She says there's one more location. It's at this bar. So they go to the bar, and they see that Duke has gone inside the bar. So Duke goes in the bar, and now he's gone full rampage again. Like, you know, he ties up all the women with his underling, and he tells them that he has killed the little brother. Off screen. We don't see it. And
which then, we know that he didn't.
Yeah. He goes and starts torturing Cookie in front of the other girls that he's tied up. And now Cookie, I will say that her acting here is like, it's a little out of control.
Okay. It sounds like she's having atomic diarrhea. Now she's like, like it's just coming out of her ass in droves.
I will give them this. It is intense. this actor is rough on what seems like he's really rough on her.
I really feel like he's rough on all of the women that he's beating on in this movie.
I feel like
they're getting smacked.
I wish I could have found information because it looks like this actor playing Duke really is kicking the shit out of everybody.
That's Dale Midkiff.
I searched everywhere just in case. I just wanted to find. I couldn't find much information. Couldn't find any budget information or anything. But the Duke, he starts playing Russian roulette with
Cookie.
And I mean, at one point, like, the acting is good because she thinks she's gonna die.
Yeah.
And she's just, and he's pulling her hair while he's doing this.
I seriously think she's getting hurt for real.
It looks like, I mean, it's like a cross between too much acting and it's realistic. It's kind of odd.
Yeah. Now, this is Oscar winning actress Melissa Leo.
I loved you, man.
Just to even say it one more time. It's hard to ever see her again because it's one of those movies where she's naked the whole movie almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to the point where it becomes numb. Oh, I'm looking at her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Nipples. I got it. Yeah.
All
right. Right here, right before he can finally do the Russian roulette to actually shoot her, the guy, his underling, who's like starting to get creeped out. Now this is too much. He's already seen Finesse get murdered, and he's seen that he beat up another pimp, and now he's going to blow this girl's brains out. He's starting to get creeped out, so he's starting to back off his underling, and then he suddenly gets shot because Jason and his guy come in and they just wildly shoot at Duke, completely missing him, of course.
I was laughing my ass off at this scene because there's no way that you could be a worse shot.
But Duke is able to spin around, shoot with that one bullet in the chamber. Don't forget.
Yeah.
It is the one that would have killed Cookie. He is perfectly able to kill Jason's right-hand guy.
Yep.
Who just stands there to get shot. He dies. And I guess Duke's underling is dead. Now, they have a fight. Jason and Duke fight.
This movie really should have been called Pimp Wars. It should have.
Anything.
Because it's just a movie about pimps fighting over hookers.
Yes. I mean, it's just Duke kicking people's asses. Now, Duke and Jason fight. Like, really good fight.
It's a really good fight.
Jason's beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Duke keeps beating the shit out of him back. And finally, Jason starts strangling him. But Duke now suddenly has a switchblade. And he stabs Jason perfectly in the side of his body. Jason dies.
I was really
automatically
bummed.
Just dies.
I was bummed about that.
And Duke is like, survived again. Now, he's in this night, he's had his ass beat. 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And won.
Mm-hmm.
And now is really jacked up.
Yep.
So he goes after Cookie again.
Yep.
By just like beating the shit out of her. And they do it like behind boxes so they can hide it a little bit.
Yeah, but she, don't forget that she blasts him over the head with a bottle. And
oh, she does. She hits him with a bottle.
Yep.
I forgot about that. So he also got hit by a bottle.
Yep.
So he just starts going to beat her up while Queen Bee is escaping her like ties and freeing Star. But Star's like, I'm going to run off. Yeah, I'm not going to help
Star's
anybody.
Star's like, F this. Yeah. I'm out.
But she forces her to stay and help her grab the gun and get the bullets in it. So she loads the gun with the bullets and goes to shoot Duke in the other room. But she's like, tells Star to shut the lights off so he won't see where she is. She does, but Star runs out after that.
But the
she
thing
completely
is,
leaves them.
It's in the dark. So what if they hit Cookie?
I agree. Cookie's on the floor getting beat, right? And she, Julia Newmar, Queen Bee, just starts shooting randomly. He seems like he gets shot. And he goes, ah! And he goes nuts, right? Looking for her.
I feel like he got shot in the arm.
Yeah. I feel like that too. And of course, none of the bullets really hurt him.
Nope.
He just gets more enraged and he starts swinging around in the dark looking for her. Right. And there is an opening with a light in it, a doorway. And I'm like, why doesn't he, can't he see? Because there's a light coming from this doorway. I've had lights turned off on me.
Mm-hmm.
I can see. You know, yeah. It's not like you just automatically go, I'm blind. What am I going to do? You know, it's not Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs where the lights are all like the windows are painted or anything. There is a light source. So he can't find her and he falls to the floor looking for Queen Bee. And at that same moment, Tim comes in the doorway with a metal pipe and he's been like beat up. He's bloody. And Queen Bee says, on the floor. And he turns around, he smacks him in the head, in the body with the pipe multiple times. But it doesn't affect him. He's able to get up.
I swear to God, he is like invincible in this movie, this guy. Like, he is seriously RoboPimp.
Yes.
It's crazy.
He gets up, he's able to get out the doorway, and it forces them to chase him in a car. He's actually running.
Yep.
And they chase him in the car and they go to hit him. By the way, nobody else exists on the street.
No,
you know, New York City, the famous street where the famous city where no one's ever out at night or hears anything.
It was like a back alley where at least there's one or two crackheads. Nobody.
He actually does parkour over the car at one point and gets over it.
It was impressive.
He's been shot, hit with a bottle, a pipe multiple times, and he's had his ass beat. This night.
Like, normally I would laugh at this kind of stuff because I think it's like very comical. Like, okay, this guy's escaping everything. Come on now.
Yeah. All but I hear is the Terminator music.
Yeah, I didn't laugh because I was
I loved it.
Was like almost rooting for him because he was literally avoiding every single thing.
It was like incredible that he was unable to get away with the things he did. He actually, I think, gets hit by the car at one point.
Yeah, he does.
And he still gets up and comes after them.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going, and again, they can't kill him.
No.
And guess what? Because this is a horror movie now, all of a sudden, the car can't start anymore.
Of course.
And because he's drained the battery, because his Terminator essence is sucking the energy out of everything.
Pimpinator.
The bullets Pimpinator. And everything. He's sucking the juice out of the battery with his essence. And they can't get out. And he's almost about to kill them.
Yep.
When there's a shot, and he turns around and sees Cookie, who has now got up after her beating, got a gun, and is going to shoot him. Now, he just starts talking to her. He just, like, gives up. He goes, oh, and he's just trying to have a conversation with her or something?
No. What is he? He's saying, come on, baby. We can work this out. Come on, just talk to me, baby.
Yeah.
We can work it out. No worries. Everything's going to be water under the bridge. And she just blasts him. Now,
but he's like, oh.
This is what's impressive to me is the fact that they literally, okay, he ran street blocks, okay? And they drove street blocks. How did Melissa Leo find them?
She's the only person in the city that can hear the insanity that is ensuing in this scene.
Oh my God.
She can hear it down the block and be like, oh, I know where they are.
Now, in this city, that's huge.
No cops.
Gunshots everywhere.
Dead bodies everywhere.
Dead bodies everywhere. There's only one scene where there's a cop, and that's where Dale Midkiff is smacking the hooker. Remember? Outside on the street? He breaks up the fight. That's it. Otherwise, there's people with their jugs hanging out, naked as a jaybird, walking around the streets in lingerie. People, hookers getting beat up, all sorts of stuff. Pimps walking around with their ladies of the night. And there's not one goddamn cop to be found with gunshots, cars.
There is one scene with cops over. Almost arresting all the women of the night on the corner. And they all have to hide behind the car.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They all have to hide.
Yeah, there's
one scene
of it.
I'm like, oh, my God. It's
yeah. And that's the end of the movie is that.
That's it.
She shoots and kills him finally. I think it's like multiple bullets too, right?
Yes, she shoots him multiple times.
Because he's like, rawr!
The three of them, Julie Newmar, Tim and Cookie all walk off together. And I don't know if you heard it, but I didn't. But I heard no sirens. Did you?
I didn't hear any sirens.
So, no,
they started playing that music.
Mm-hmm.
Which was what I sang in the opening.
Oh, my God. The song. I cannot.
It was like, honey, I might not be what you need. No, I'm not. I might not be what you're looking for, but I certainly am what you need. because nothing says Duke insanity, murder insanity, than that song.
Put down the gun, Cookie. You can't kill me, man. I ain't your style. You know you love me. Huh? We can talk about this some kind of way, huh? Come on, baby, put down the gun. Come on, we can talk about it. You know, like we used to, right? Come on, put the gun down. I said put it down. Put down the gun! You're fucking with my vision now! Put the gun down!
What were they thinking with the choice of that song? Like, what were they thinking? Honey, I might not be what you're looking for, but I am what you need after the man who beat her senseless just was murdered?
Yeah. I got nothing.
I'm so insane.
The music choices were pretty bad in this.
Were you expecting him to jump up one more time?
Yes, I was.
And I also am mad that he was never set on fire. I was waiting for him to run down the street on fire at them.
Everything else happened to him.
I kind of wish it was. Now, okay. My question to you is, are you as fascinated as I am to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan be this character?
Yes, I am.
I am. I mean, I heard it was like scene for scene.
Oh, wow. So he's not pulling his Negan crap. Holy shit. Look at you.
He might be. Could you imagine? Like Jeffrey Dean Morgan as this Duke character, as the Terminator of pimps?
I feel like it's going to be that much extra, just like he is Negan.
I do think so, too, and like, I'm fascinated by it.
I mean, I don't like the character of Negan, but I have a feeling it's going to be like that. But yeah, I'm definitely fascinated to
see it. That movie came out way before he was Negan.
True.
And we've seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan in lots of things before that and never connected that.
That's true.
Yeah, so that... I mean, he is a good actor, and I feel he's stuck in that part now.
Yeah.
But I would really like to see his version of this character. And I would love to see how much more it's heightened, or is that the 80s are always going to be... There's something about it. There's a vibe. There's like a, you know, no special effects or anything. There's a vibe of the 80s directing that it just feels more genuine in its insanity, and the 90s feel too highly produced. Mm-hmm. So I want to know what the difference between the two will be. Will it feel as insane as this movie does? Because I have a feeling they'll make him more wounded and hurt to fight. And in this movie, he's not hurt at all. You can't tell at all. Like, no, he looks messed up.
I mean, he looks messed up,
but he's not just moving. Like,
he just keeps getting up. He's walking fine.
When he did parkour, I laughed my ass off. I was like, how?
How?
Yeah.
How?
He's all wounded. Yeah. He was almost choked to death.
It was crazy. Like, he was literally the Pimpinator.
He
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for that, this movie would have been a complete wash. It would have been too serious and too whatever. You
know, it was more serious than it really deserved to be. Because it was like, look at this plot. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was really a stupid plot. It was literally pimps fighting over hookers. No, she's my property. No, she's my property. That's pretty much basically what this was. And, you know, slapping them around and disrespecting them and all that stuff. So, like, there's no real plot here.
I can't name another movie where the pimp, the villain, is the main storyline.
I know.
The pimp wants to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the storyline, because she goes on with her life.
Yeah.
Like, never, nothing's going on.
Yep.
She just starts hooking.
Yep.
And she just lets it. And then he is the story. Two pimps, like, we got to kill this each other.
Yeah.
That is, it's like if Sleeping with the Enemy was from the point of the guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, instead of being Julia Roberts, like, mm-hmm. like freaked out by him and trying to fend him off, this movie's really about him trying just to kill her.
Yeah.
It's, we're following the killer of that movie.
Yep.
That's wild.
It's bonkers. It's a very bonkers movie, and it was way too serious for me. I wanted it to be more, you know, laughable, ridiculous, like, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the crap we watch on Bad Movie Night. But
so, I mean, I guess the end question here really is this the worst movie ever made?
No.
No. I don't think it is. But no. What would you give it out of 10?
Okay, well, I mean, just because there was so much entertaining stuff about it, with the hoe slapping and the just the silliness that was going on, I think I want to give this movie a 4. I want to give it a 4. I mean, it's not mediocre. It was bad.
I actually think it's mediocre.
I don't think it's mediocre. I think it's a bad movie. There's nothing going on in it.
I was never bored. I never exactly said, I hate this. It was straightforward. I really don't have much to say besides it being a bare bones plot.
Yeah.
Without much going for it. And it's only an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
I think that this, to me, I just feel like this movie, we watch bad movies on this show. This one is kind of entertaining in how weird it is.
I don't know. I was just expecting more 80s wardrobe, more 80s music, more 80s feel, you know? That's what drew me into this movie in the first place.
So you're mad at it just didn't fill your nostalgic itch.
It didn't scratch my itch.
I mean, if you take it on its own without putting in the hopes and dreams of it, like, it's not the worst thing I've ever watched.
No, that's why I'm giving it a 4. I don't think it's mediocre. I think it's still bad.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that I can watch and be okay with it. But I'm not, like, totally enjoying myself. I'm not totally immersed. Whereas, like, a mediocre film, I feel, would be, I'm immersed in it.
Mm.
I was just like, oh, my God, why? It's all over the place. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I think that's what I mostly enjoyed was how insane it was. Like, yeah. And it wasn't even that insane. It was just like, wow, I can't get enough of watching Duke go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, oh. I just can't believe what's going to happen next. After, like, the third time, I was shocked. And I was like, wow, he is unstoppable.
Yep.
And I kind of want to see more of where this is going to go. Although I want him to die,
mm-hmm.
I still am like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I know.
And the actor is not playing it over the top.
Now you're going to see what happens when you fuck around with Duke.
Stop, baby. What are you doing? No! No! Baby, now you're making a mistake.
Am I?
Baby, I didn't mean for this all to happen. I swear.
Please. Stop lying, bitch.
I ain't lying.
You disrespected me.
No, I ain't.
She ain't lying. She ain't lying.
He's playing it pretty straight,
yeah.
And it's not, like, we've seen some movies where the main slasher villain of the 80s movies are, like, just going crazy. They're acting like they're some kind of Batman villain.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, no. He's just like, I hate people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I want my bitches back.
I want that bitch dead. I love her. Doesn't she know it? I love this. We didn't even talk about the whole scene where he trashes the house with the guitar.
Oh,
just saying I love you.
Yeah, he's pissed and he's hurt because Cookie, you know,
sold
went
him
against
out.
Him and all that. So, yeah.
So we have a list that we've been doing, and we actually forgot for 2 movies straight. But I just wanted to point out real fast that the last 2 movies we did, one of them is definitely in the top 10. And that means, and that movie is Death Sport.
Mm-hmm.
Which we both agree is not good.
No, it's terrible.
And so I put it at number 6, and it did what I finally wanted to happen. It happened sooner than I ever could have imagined. We kicked out The Christmas Tree. The Christmas Tree is now number 11.
Oh, my.
So that's that's what you think of me. I'll teach you how to stay behind doors listening to other people's conversations. Go to bed right now.
Yeah, The Christmas Tree has made it out of the top 10 worst movies we've ever seen on the show. as far as we've been doing this.
Oh, man.
We have done 33. Well, actually, I think this. This is the 33rd movie that we've done since we made the list. I think that we are kind of like mixed on where we would review it. So I'm just going to stick it near the bottom half and say that I think I like it a little better than a couple movies recently. But do we like Attack of the Crab Monsters better or worse?
I like Attack of the Crab Monsters better.
Okay. So I'm going to put this movie at number 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
That moved, that went in quickly. So.
Yeah. All right. So that will bring us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I show you the two extremes of online reviews and how the internet destroys the movie rating system. So I'm going to give you one-star review and one 10-star review. And mind you, I believe that there are literally only one 10-star review and one 1-star review on this film. So I will start with the 1-star review today. I'm not going to do the 10 stars first. This one is, oh my goodness. I forgot about this film until the other night. One of the premium cable channels dug this up. Then I remembered it. Okay, first of all, who knows about this movie, really? I mean, hardcore Corman fans. Anyway, it was not an Academy Award-winning drama by any stretch of the imagination. And the best thing about this film is watching actors who went on to bigger and better things. That is the beauty of a film like this. You look at it from back in the day and say, hey, isn't that so-and-so who was in such-and-such? There's a lot of that in here. The story is very simple. It gives a synopsis about turning into a streetwalker.
Which wasn't even really any like turning into at all being shown. It just is. She just is all of a sudden.
Right, right. So, yeah. It says, you'll get to see the street competition with pimps, drug use, cheesy lines, slapping around your hose, and all sorts of things like that before Disney got a hold of streetwalkers to make them look super clean and cute.
Thank you. Thank you, Pretty Woman.
Yes, this movie consists of all the things that made movies like this a nice springboard and paycheck for up-and-coming actors to cut their teeth with. Low-budget, low-acting film. 1 out of 10. I feel like I don't feel like this is a 1-star review. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, it seems like he kind of... There's like... what was the name of this person?
Lambie Pie.
The person seems like they kind of somewhat enjoy it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like something... Again, I guess that's why we do this. We're always confused by these reviewers. It's the worst movie they've ever seen, and yet they still kind of have some stuff good to say about it.
Right.
So, I mean, again, it's exactly why we can't have nice things. Thanks for reviewing it, I guess? Question mark?
Yeah, I guess.
I can't wait to hit a 10. Well, give me
the 10. This person, I don't know what the hell's going on, but this is enraging. It's short. Anyway, 10 out of 10, this is what I call an NYC 80s '80s movie. Flashback in the 80s, NYC nightlife, all raw, and soundtrack was dope. I wish I knew where they filmed the club in this movie. Awesome movie, hands down. Julie Newmar is even in it. Genuine, authentic cinema. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you're giving us a 10 out of 10.
A movie. 10.
It's a movie. Yay, it's a 10. Julie Newmar is in it. It's a 10.
10.
I wish I knew what club that was. 10. Like, what is this shit?
I think that was Bill Hader's character from SNL.
Stefan.
Yes, Stefan.
Yes.
It sounds like Stefan wrote that review.
He finds the hottest
It has everything.
Spot. It has everything.
Yeah, it has hookers, pimps, Julie Newmar, and lingerie. It has everything. It's your finest New York club.
Oh, my God.
It's called Streetwalking.
I cannot. All right, so that was Streetwalking. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's happening with these Corman films. We have one more.
One more.
Okay. We can do this.
Yeah, the last one. Do you think the next one will be worse or better?
What's the name of the next one?
Frankenstein Unbound. It's Corman's last directed film and his take on the Frankenstein lore.
Okay.
Now we're also going into the 90s. Okay,
I have a problem with 90s films.
I agree, me too. And it's going to be Corman in the 90s, and that's kind of frightening for me.
Yeah, I'm frightened too.
Yeah, this is like when Argento did Dracula, and it's just like seeing how someone progresses, and it's like, oof, when CG's in your life, and it's not pretty.
Who's playing the monster?
I don't know anything about it yet.
Oh, shit.
I wanted to go in blind.
Okay.
But yeah, we're in the 90s and Corman's last directed film. And I don't know. I think that this will be the worst of the whole month.
No, it can't be worse than Death Sport.
I know. I'm wondering if it will be.
No.
Because I actually think I've rather enjoyed the movies more than I ever thought. Death Sport is by far the worst so far anyways. But every other one, I've kind of been like, this is interesting. It's unique. Something about it is unique.
Yep, for sure.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going into the Frankenstein one with a good attitude.
All right.
Though it's 90s, we'll see.
All right. Well, any parting thoughts?
No, not really. I this one left me with like a pooey taste in my mouth. Like, all right. That's something that happened.
All right then. All right. So, hey, Corman.
We love you.
Anybody got any thoughts out there and you want to share them with us? Well, I would love to hear about it. We're on Instagram. I'm at Just Another Movie Night. And Joe is at The Crafty Misfit. Hit us up. We got some interesting things going on. And maybe you got some interesting thoughts. I'd love to hear it. And that's all we got. You guys have a good one. All right. Bye. And don't forget, tip your hooker.
So, I'm just gonna leave y'all to work it out, okay?
Sit the fuck down!
Duke, honey. I thought you and I was cool. I mean, I think the bitch deserves whatever she gets.